And joining me right now here on the phone line for Victory Monday, I know it happened. He's my good friend, Anthony Nockreiner, the biggest Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan I know. He has to chime in. Anthony, how you doing today?
I am great, Mark. I am drinking a cup of Philly fan tears, and all I can say is it's quite refreshing.
How did the Buccaneers win last night?
We kicked ass. I know it's that simple, but I will say this. I thought Dave Canales called a great game plan. Todd Bowles called a great game plan. Listen, I think Tampa Bay wanted to win that game. Everybody pretty much remembers how last year ended, even with Tom Brady. And listen, Tom Brady did a lot of great things. I think last year was very clear that the divorce affected how he played and how the season kind of went. But at the same time, I think a lot of those guys that were on the team last year remember how that wild card game went. Yeah, I'll be honest, even going into that game, I was like, we're not going to win because we offensively just never changed. At least it feels like with Dave Canales, even though it's been a roller coaster, because you rode that four-game high coming in and then you had the two duds against our division opponents, or division rivals, and we looked just anemic on offense. And I know last week against Carolina, Baker was hurt with, you know, rib injuries and ankle injuries and all that. But, man, that was the offense we saw in that four-game win streak. Baker was just absolutely dealing. Now, there were probably two plays that could have been an interception that who knows had they been what happens there. But either way, for the most part, Baker kept the ball out of danger. We were able to run the ball effectively. This offense just looked like we got back to that four-game win streak that we had. So offensively, they were great. And defensively, Todd Bowles with a master game plan. He was bringing pressure from everywhere. We did, and sometimes it's frustrating as a Bucs fan because we don't take advantage of what the other team's weaknesses are, but we actually did that last night. Tampa attacked the passing game, especially the yards after catch and the bad tackling by the Eagles defenders, and Todd Bowles absolutely put pressure in Jalen Hurts' face. They had no answer for it. They had no blitz beaters, and Tampa Bay was able to take advantage of that. Antoine Winfield Jr. played great. And that's the other thing, too, Mark. I think the way Yaya Diaby's playing, Kalijah Kansi, give kudos to Jason Light. This draft may be one of his best ever.
Was that the most complete game of the season? After 18 weeks of watching this, was that their most complete best game as a football team?
I would say not quite. I would honestly say that Christmas Eve game against Jacksonville was a complete, you know, domination, you know, because, again, Tampa Bay didn't finish. You know, our touchdowns came all 20-plus yards. Like, once we got in the red zone or got close, like, we couldn't do anything with it. And that concerns me going forward. But it was really, really close. I would say I put it up there with the top five when I think about, you know, the Packer game and the Jags game. This one's right up there as well. And we just did a fantastic job beating, you know, a team from the NFC least once again.
I feel like it takes two to tango, Anthony Nockreiner. I think the Eagles completely gave up, and they wanted no business of even being there. What did you think of the Eagles last night?
I think you're right, but I think at the same time, too, I think the Eagles did come out, you know, because here's the deal. I mean, there was life. That was the game. Tampa kept kicking field goals. Had Tampa absolutely, I mean, we left points on the board. Had Tampa not dropped so many passes, Mike Evans, unfortunately uncharacteristic of him, had we not dropped passes, it should have easily been a 28-0 ball game before halftime. And you're probably right. We're talking about that in terms of they just gave up. They didn't even come out to play. But that team did give a little fight in the second quarter offensively. Devontae Smith with some big plays. He was their only real spark on offense. So they were trying, at least offensively. Defensively, like I said, they were just – it's been the same problem for the Eagles. Miscommunication, the defense is out of whack. You know, everyone wanted to give Howie Roseman all the flowers and everything during the NFL draft because he's recreating the Georgia Bulldogs college defense. Well, maybe he should have spent some of those picks on linebackers and some DBs that actually could cover and run.
I made this joke last night. I'm not kidding around, Anthony, and I know you'll love this. If Todd Bowles like hand out a game football postgame, I would give it to the Philadelphia secondary. How pitiful they were last night. I'm not kidding. They were like, what would be the ole? Like, you know, you're bullfighting. Ole. Like, Buccaneers guys were just running. Dude, They won 9-0 against Carolina last week and couldn't score a touchdown. I'm talking about your Buccaneers. They had problems against the Saints where they got smashed in the face. I think the Eagles are pitiful, and I think you completely expose them where, and I'll tell you the play also, where their gimmick offense got completely exposed. Their stupid try on 2 points where they go for the tush push, and you said, not today, Jose. And that's the end of them. I hope you're happy, buddy. You completely exposed the Eagles last night.
That's what I love. I love exposing NFC least teams because, let's face it, they were frauds. They've been frauds for the past 2 years. The Philadelphia Eagles had a weak schedule last year. Now, again, they started off 10-1. They probably shouldn't have been 10-1, but then they finally go on the stretch that they did. The Eagles are in free fall, and so are the Cowboys. So exposing frauds is fantastic, especially when it's the media darlings, because we've already seen it, Mark. I mean, the Cowboys absolutely got trounced in the playoffs again. They haven't been America's team. They have been a team that's been completely been nothing but a failure in terms of the fact we have all these high expectations. We hear about it all the time on the national talk shows. It's always Cowboys this and Cowboys that, but they haven't won anything. Tampa Bay has more playoff wins than the Dallas Cowboys. We have more Super Bowl wins in this century than the Cowboys have playoff wins. Well, that's maybe not true, but either way, the point is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have had far more success, but once again, because of the media market, because Philly's a city and Dallas is a big city, it always dominates the headlines. Because guess what, Mark? We're going to hear about the Dallas Cowboys up until the draft and up until the next offseason, because maybe Mike McCarthy get fired. Maybe they'll hire Bill Belichick. Maybe Jerry Jones is going insane. Who the hell knows? Who the hell cares? All right, stop talking about Dallas and stop talking about Philly as if they've done anything.
Okay, here's my question. And I don't blame you for having that rant. I don't, because I'm on the same page as you. We're here with Anthony Nockreiner. Victory Monday for the Buccaneers. Fire those cannons. What was the play last night where you're like, okay, game over. We're moving on to the next round.
I thought it was the Trey Palmer play. I mean, the fact that Trey Palmer, you know, the little 6-yard out route or arrow route, if you will, and then he breaks it for 56 yards. I mean, you talked about the Eagles defenders not tackling. I mean, it just reminds me of great John McKay quote, the Bucs head coach from the early or from the mid-70s. And he said, you know, but this isn't the exact quote, but it's kind of similar. It's just a simple fact that the Eagles, the DBs, weren't covering, and they made up for that fact by not tackling as well. So it was just fantastic stuff to see that, you know, Trey Palmer, David Moore. I mean, we didn't have to count on Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Cade Otton was big, even though he had a couple of drops. You need to catch some of those next time. But, man, it was other guys getting involved and just absolutely obliterating. Because guess what? I think Mike Evans and Chris Godwin will come out with a vengeance this upcoming week against a very susceptible Lions secondary. Listen, the Lions defense gets good pressure, but at the same time, you can get the Lions secondary.
I can't believe we're even having these conversations. I have to be honest with you. You look at this team. They entered December, the Buccaneers, under 500. Under 500 going into December, and they finished 9-8. They went 5-1 down the stretch, if I can do my third grade math. And they're in the divisional round, and I'm with you. I think they can go out and win this game on Sunday, and I know this is going to blow your mind. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. There is a scenario where the NFC Championship game could be in Tampa. You know that, right, Anthony?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we take care of business and Green Bay comes out and they surprise the 49ers, you know, we could be talking about hosting Green Bay and Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game. And Tampa's never hosted an NFC title game. It'd be the oddest way to do it, but it would be fantastic if the Bucs actually did and actually were able to host it. But I will say this, Mark. I think for me, anything beyond this point for the Bucs is gravy. Let's look at where Tampa was. Tom leaves. Everybody's already saying that the Bucs are pretty much going to be the worst team. We're going to be in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes, and we're going to trade Mike Evans and Chris Godwin midseason, and we're going to trade pieces away and all that. The fact that Todd Bowles, and I'll give Todd Bowles a ton of credit, you know, great hire by Dave Canales, Great job getting him in there. And like I said, too, you got to give him his flowers. Sometimes I'm not exactly, you know, his biggest fan of how he's handled time management and those types of things, but you got to give him credit for what this turnaround was, because at 4-7, Todd Bowles' job was absolutely up for it, you know. And like I said, we could have replaced him had he not finished strong and not won the division. I mean, if he laid an egg last night, you could have a scenario where Todd Bowles gets fired. Because he, you know, back-to-back years where if Tampa lays an egg in a home playoff game, that's not going to get the job done. So I think everything from here on out is gravy for Bucs fans. Am I going to sit here and just say, like, I'll be happy if they lose? No, I obviously want the Bucs to win, but I think this is just icing on the cake for what was really a transition year, and I think Tampa Bay has actually done a phenomenal job. Jason Light deserves all the kudos for what he's done because, again, you go to this draft. Cody Mauch has improved, and he looks like he's going to be a solid interior offensive lineman for Tampa Bay. Luke Getteke is playing phenomenal at right tackle. Tristan Wirfs, I think he's an all-pro at left tackle. But, again, you know, because he plays in Tampa, he's not going to get his accolades. I mean, you have people literally yelling from the rooftops to get Antoine Winfield Jr., the all-pro, because he got snubbed for the Pro Bowl because somehow Buda Baker got it. I don't know how that worked. But either way, point is that I think that what Jason Light's done, Yaya Diaby, Kalijah Kansi, Cody Mauch, you know, some of the guys that they've had this season that have actually, I mean, Trey Palmer, a sixth-round pick for Tampa, making contributions in the postseason. So Jason Light has done a phenomenal job, especially also having to deal with the $81 million that we had in dead cap money. The New Orleans Saints are still, they still have so much dead cap money over the next couple of years. I don't know when they're going to hit the reset button, but that credit card is coming due. And we still won the division, even though we had to pay for our credit card this year.
We're here with Anthony Nockreiner talking Bucs football here on a Monday. They're going to be at Detroit for the divisional round Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. with the kick. Don't bother Anthony during that time frame. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. My thing with Baker Mayfield is you bring him in $4 million with the base pay. He has the incentives. He's going to make more than that. I mean, I saw the stat. I don't know if you did, Anthony. He got, what is it, $250,000 bonus for winning the game, for winning the playoff game. Started every game. He won the division. It wasn't pretty at times. Won this playoff game. Is Baker Mayfield your long-term answer quarterback moving forward?
I think it's too early to tell. I think, obviously, Baker Mayfield's absolutely earned another contract with us. I think Baker, you know, can get a 2 to 3 year deal. I think it's very similar, very comparable to the Geno deal. You know, but I also think the question is going to be whether or not we keep Dave Canales. Again, I think a lot of what Baker's success was Dave Canales' willingness to adapt. I mean, you know, you look at the offense and how it performed during the losing streak. They did make changes. I mean, the running game has been far more efficient and far more effective since the winning streak. And you got to give a lot of credit to Dave Canales, not just sticking to it, because again, we had an offensive coordinator that didn't change. It was the same offense every single week, week in and week out, with offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich. And I know some people thought, well, Tampa Bay shouldn't have moved off of him. It wasn't his fault. He won a Super Bowl. Well, clearly, look at the difference. Yeah, Tampa Bay's still last in rushing, but we won the division and we just won a playoff game. And we had, I think, Rashad White had like 80 yards rushing. Rashad White has been an absolute dynamo for us as well. I mean, like I said, I go back to Jason Light with the way he's drafted. But Rashad White, again, he is a pass-catching threat as well as a rushing threat. I think we have our own Alvin Kamara for the next couple of years. So I think with Baker, give him a 2 to 3 year deal. And like I said, if we continue to win division championships and we continue to go to the playoffs, then absolutely sign Baker to another deal after that. But I think, you know, when you look at what happened with the Seahawks and Geno Smith this year, how much time he missed, again, Baker's – I love what he's done for Tampa Bay. We still don't quite have a young franchise quarterback that's going to lead us the next 10 years. We don't have Mahomes. We don't have a Josh Allen, but you know what?
That's fine. Hey,
I'll take this.
Hey, you got championships, right? Just ride the wave, buddy. I know you're excited today. I don't blame you. That was a big win. Big win on national TV.
Again, it was against the Eagles. It was a big win against the NFC defending champs, Philadelphia Eagles. The Cowboys sent Tom Brady out. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers sent Jason Kelce out into retirement. And you know what? Hey, Jason Kelce is a phenomenal player, and you know all the accolades. He'll be a Hall of Famer. But I'm just glad that we sent the Philadelphia Eagles packing. I'm glad that those Eagles fans, because I do remember there was the video back in week three of the Eagles fans that wouldn't move the flag up over the state over their heads because they were just being complete jerks like Philadelphia fans are. And I got some Philly fans, and I know they're not all like it, but there are mostly jerks when it comes to Philly fans, and they absolutely deserve every bit of misery that they've had to suffer. I was at a wedding up in Maine for New Year's, and the sports bar where I was watching the Bucks-Saints game was dominated by Eagles fans, and I'm hearing that stupid E-A-G-L-E-S chant, you know, what they always do, and they were playing the Cardinals. It was so satisfying to watch them just be in misery after that one. Kind of felt the same last night, too. So, like I said, Mark, this cup of tears that Philly fans have poured for me, it's just refreshing.
You know what? It could have been worse. There are a bunch of drops. You talked about this. It could have been worse in the first half. There were multiple drops. This could have been a bigger score by the Buccaneers. All right. It's a win. Enjoy it. But let's look ahead to this weekend with Anthony Nockreiner. Buccaneers lost earlier in the year to Detroit. I think it was 20-6. What happened in that first game, buddy?
Well, if you remember, we had Mike Evans wide open early in that game, but Baker's pass got batted up in the air and then intercepted, which turned into a touchdown for the Detroit Lions, I believe. And it was just not good. I don't know how it happened, but you know, we go into that bye week 3-1. We come out of it and we lose like 6 of 7. We just did not look good. And they even said, too, they were just like, somehow the bye week messed us up. Like, we had our mojo going, and the bye week messed up their mojo. So I feel like right now they played a wild card game. Their mojo's good. I think the carryover from this game going into Sunday, I think the offense is playing well. I think this is going to be a different ball game. But at the same time, like, again, so is Detroit. They're different right now. Williams is playing well for them. Amon-Ra St. Brown is playing out of his mind right now. Gibbs has been efficient. So is Montgomery. Goff, you know, hasn't turned the ball over yet, but we'll see what Todd Bowles does here, because right now I think Todd Bowles is in his play calling groove as a defensive play caller, because what he dialed up and what he's done. I mean, again, the defense has gotten us through. They didn't play well against the Saints, but that was on everybody. I think everybody just came out flat for that one. I think we just expected the Saints to roll over, or we just expected to win it. I don't know which, but either way, the defense got us into the playoffs with Antoine Winfield Jr.'s play. I think those guys, I think Kalijah Kansi, I don't think he was even back yet. And I don't think Yaya Diaby was playing nearly as much. So I think this is going to be a different look for the Bucs defense to come after Jared Goff, to try and force him into some mistakes. And I think if they do that, I think they can definitely win this game. If they're not able to get pressure on Jared Goff and they just let him pick us apart, we're going to be in some serious, serious trouble. But at the same time, too, we also got to keep Baker Mayfield upright. You know, we gave up a couple of sacks.
Yeah.
The Lions' pass rush is not quite the Eagles' pass rush with all the guys that they've got up there, but they are good. Aiden Hutchinson, I mean, we'll see how that matchup between him and Tristan Wirfs goes. But I think the key here is Tampa's offensive line has got to keep Baker protected. And Baker's, you know, got to just continue to play smart football. Don't put the ball in harm's way and, you know, hit the guys that he needs to hit, and our receivers need to catch the ball as well.
All right, here's my thing. As we're a couple days out, you know, this is going to be gigantic for the Buccaneers. My first take is the Lions are going to play defense. They're not just going to stand around and watch you run down the field with the football like we saw last night. Like, they're going to play four quarters of football. That crowd is going to be emotional and loud like it was, what was it, Sunday night. And I agree with you. Turnovers are going to be key. And my thing is, I think Mike Evans has to play better. I can't believe I have to say that. I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but there's times last night he was dropping that ball, and I think he's my X factor. I think they are going to put all their eyeballs on 13. He's going to have the biggest game of his career. That's my take, Anthony. What about you?
No, I agree. We got to get our playmakers involved. Last night it was great. You know, David Moore, Trey Palmer, Kate Otten, you know, those guys getting the ball, and, you know, we were able to make up yards there. But it's going to be, okay, this week, it's got to be Mike Evans. It's got to be Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
You know, Rashad White, I want to see a little more out of him in the passing game, because, again, I don't think we featured him enough, or at least Baker didn't get the ball to him enough in terms of the passing game. So I want to see that, because I think, again, it's going to be tough to run on Detroit. So I want to see us use that short passing game, those screens that we've run with Rashad White to really open things up for us. And so I agree with you, though. I think Mike Evans, I think he's frustrated. I mean, he dropped a touchdown.
Yeah.
He had another drop as well later on that could have been big for him. You know, he's played in the postseason. And he, again, you know, he's just adding to his Hall of Fame credentials. But this is a big-time game for him. I know he wants to make that up. And I think, too, that, you know, I think with Mike Evans, you just – Baker's able to get him the ball. Like, you look at that. It wasn't overthrows by Baker. They were in the basket. There was – the second one was maybe just a little too far out in front of Mike. But that first one where he had it right, it was a dime from Baker. He's hitting him right now. I think Mike just needs to get this game. I think he'll have that ready to rock and roll come Sunday.
Here's my other thing. You have nothing to lose. So I come out aggressive. Like they did last night. I want the ball first. I'm going down the field. And we're going to try to hit Evans and Godwin down the field. Like I am completely pushing the pace. Because I don't know, Anthony, if they get down 14 points, I don't know if this team can come back from a big hole on the road. Do you feel that way?
I think it depends. I don't think our defense will let us get into that type of hole. I think, you know, you go back to that first matchup, it was not, you know, like Detroit absolutely dominated us. It was just the fact that our offense couldn't move the ball at all. You know, you had a couple of turnovers by Baker. I think you had a fumble somewhere along the line here by Rashad White or by somebody. You know, it was just missed opportunities because you go back, Mike Evans was wide open for like an 80-yard touchdown. But because the ball was batted up, it didn't get to Mike because Mike was behind the Detroit Lions defense. You know, Aaron Glenn's going to bring some pressure. So there's going to be chances for Baker to toss it up to Mike. So I think that the offense just needs to stay within the confines of what has made it successful. Get the ball to Rashad White. Get the ball to Mike Evans on blitz beaters if you need to. Work the middle of the field. Again, especially on those blitzes, the slant routes. I'd love to see a few more of those considering the fact that those work. You know, Trey Palmer is playing really well, too. So, like I said, there's a lot for Detroit that they're going to have to take into consideration this week. Kadon's playing really well. So, I think it's going to be a different ball game. Don't expect the same thing that we saw. Even though I wish the Bucks would wear the road white creamsicles there, I know they won't. But at the same time, this should be a really, really fun matchup. And the funny part is, I go back to Tampa's playing at 3 o'clock on NBC. And you know what happened the last time this happened in the divisional round? That was when Tampa played the Rams. It's almost like it's like history repeating itself because you got the Bucks and the Lions, and then you got the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday. It was just like the Bucks and the Rams that Sunday in 2021, and then the Bills and the Chiefs as well in the divisional round on that Sunday. So maybe we'll get a little fortune out of come our way this time instead of the other way around.
I'm going to end with this. I'm happy for you, buddy, and I'm happy for all Buccaneers fans because – that was awesome last night. That really was. Just
Bucks are still the best team in Florida.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I just want to say this to you. I'm with you with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't want to hear it anymore. Stop talking about them. I don't want to hear about them 12 months out of the year. And then Jerry Jones is going to – they don't do jack squat. Nothing. They've not even been to the AFC Championship game since 1995. Just stop it. I don't care anymore. And if I'm like Bill Belichick, don't go there. You're not going to win. It's going to be a disaster. Like, I'm with you, Anthony. I'm putting my foot down. Enough. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear about them. Sorry. I'm done.
Agreed. I'm tired of hearing about the Cowboys. I'm tired of hearing about all that. Listen, I get it. They're a big market. But you know what? There's other teams that you can talk about that are fun right now.
Wait. Listen to me. They're not they are a big market, but Houston, Texas is a bigger market.
True.
You know, Chicago.
Listen, the Texans are going to be fun, man. CJ Stroud. I mean, listen, I'll tell you this much. I won't be surprised if Houston beats Baltimore. Baltimore hasn't played in 2 weeks.
I know.
It's not like they're smashing people throughout the regular season and they're just going to pick up right where they left off.
It's going to be fascinating this weekend. Anthony Knockreiner, and by the way, I will debut your new victory thing you did on social media. Don't worry, I will play 10,000 times this week. My man, thank you for your help and have a great week. All right,
thanks, Mark. I appreciate it, man.